We've just had a reading from the book of Job, and we realize that Job was a man of Uz, and he was a blameless man, upright. But notice that he was a man who offered sacrifice also, because he had children who were children, and he cared about their welfare, and thus he offered sacrifice for them on a regular basis. But in one day, he lost 10 children, all of his servants, all of his possessions. Yet Job 2 and verse 10 says, in all this, Job did not sin with his lips. And Job 1 and verse 22 also says, in all this, Job did not sin nor charge God with wrong. You know, this is from our daily Bible reading, and that's why I've chosen it for this afternoon. You remember that Satan was allowed to attack his health. Painful boils from the soles of his feet to the crown of his head. After reading this, I sincerely wonder how well we could cope with such a situation. I have arms that itch, and I scratch them. That's why I'm wearing long sleeves today, so I can't get to them. But I just don't know how I could put up with this. But in truth, we are no different in makeup than was Job. We are human beings, and I suppose that we could, if we had to, bear up under such a situation. But in most cases, our reaction to such tragedy in our lives is, why has this happened to me? Why has it happened to me? We began to think about all these people who don't have any pain, suffering, shortness of finances and so forth, and say, why has this happened to me? Well, because of the Calvinistic doctrine of predestination, many are heard to say that whatever happens is God's will. And this is not so. And I hope it's not too big a shock to all of you, because this is just not the case. Not everything that happens is God's will. For instance, Peter said in 2 Peter 3 and verse 9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Now hold it a minute. What is God's will in this? That any, not willing that any should perish, but all come to repentance. What? That's the Lord's will. And again, in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 4, who desires all men to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. What have we learned from these verses? Well, it's not God's will that men be lost. But the fact is, they continue to be lost. It is not God's will that a little child... that a little child be killed by an automobile. It is not God's will that someone contract a terminal illness of some sort. This simply is not the will of God. But we still tend to ask, why me? Why should such tragedy come to me? Well, I'm hoping that some answers from the scriptures will help us to understand this. First of all, death is appointed for all. In Hebrews 9 and verse 27, we read, "And it is appointed for men to die once, but after this, the judgment." Notice he didn't say die once and then die again and again and again. No reincarnation. That's not in the text of the Bible at all. But even the wise man of old observed in Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 2, "A time to be born and a time to die." That's the facts. And dear ones, let me say this. Death is not the ultimate tragedy. I know that it may seem at the time that nothing could be worse than losing a loved one. But there is a far greater tragedy. Jesus told the disciples in Matthew 10 and verse 28, "Do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Seeing a precious soul lost is far worse than death. Many feel that somehow God has failed them whenever a loved one dies. But this is not the case at all. We know that there should be comfort indeed for those who die in the Lord. We read in 1 Thessalonians 4:13, "I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope." We're not in that situation. If someone has passed from this life and they are in Christ, we have comfort. And we can turn to these words. In fact, we can turn to the words of 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 55. "O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory?" Notice he's quoting here from Hosea 13 and 14. And then goes on to say, and going on down into the following verses, "The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." You know, it's hard to comprehend the fact that God's perspective of death is quite different from our own. But we can get some insight, however, by looking at 2 Corinthians 4. And begin in verse 16 and through verse 17 here. Paul writes, "Therefore we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing. Yet the inner man, the inward man, is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Notice it's the inward versus the outward man. The outward man is slowly, slowly moving towards the deathbed or the grave. And that's where it's going to end up. But all this time, the inward man is renewed. Day by day, he's renewed and renewed. And he understands that the affliction, which he has to go through day after day, is just for a moment. Why? Because what's working in us is an exceeding and eternal weight of glory. We are only here for a very short time. And I think probably we're at a time where we can say that most people will live to be in their 80s, if not on into their 90s and maybe even the hundreds. But still, what is that compared to eternity? It's a drop in the bucket. And what we have to look forward to after this light affliction is an eternal weight of glory. Our light affliction, which is but for a moment. You know, as we go through life, it's hard to understand that what's happening to us is but for a moment. Take Evan for an example. I'm going to pick on him since he's not here. He suffers from pain all of the time, day, night, all the time. But Paul says, this is but a light affliction. Why? Because when you die, you're gone. It's gone. You don't have it anymore. Oh, it seems sometimes like it never will end. But it's kind of like a shot of Novocaine that the dentist gives you, or Pivacaine, whatever they're using these days, before he works on your teeth. You know, I had a friend, and he hated shots. Actually, I think he hated them more than I do. But he had to go to the dentist to have some work done. And he was going to brave it without any Novocaine. After the dentist started to work on the tooth, he decided that the little pain of the needle was better than being without the needle. But so it is with all mankind. Death and suffering is appointed for all. Yet it is but for a short time compared to eternity. Paul wrote in Romans 8 and verse 18, I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. And you know, whenever you consider the one who said that, your life is a real rose garden compared to his. Yet, someone still says, yeah, but why me? Why me? Why must I be the one to suffer? Well, I know that you may not like this, but it's the facts. We reap what we sow. And in Job 4 and verse 8, his friend Eliphaz says, "Even as I have seen those who plow iniquity and sow trouble reap the same." Well, he hit that on the head, didn't he? We go to Galatians 6, 7, and 8 and find Paul saying, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, that he will also reap." But notice this, "He who sows to the flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. He who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life." Death and suffering are often the result of neglecting the body or destroying one's health with evil practices. The drunkard who is dying of liver disease says, "Oh, why me?" Well, it's because he's sown iniquity. He's sown to the flesh and he's reaping what he sowed. A man commits adultery with a woman of ill repute and contracts disease and cries and moans, "Why me?" Because he has sown iniquity and reaps what he has sown. The homosexual persists in his ungodly life and contracts terrible diseases, life-threatening diseases, and then wonders, "Why me?" Well, they are reaping what they have sown. A man neglects his wife, or a wife neglects her husband, and the neglected one leaves, and the one who's left cries, "Why me?" You know, we need to recognize that it's just as sinful not to love your husband or love your wife as it is to divorce your husband or wife for some other cause than adultery. Paul said to husbands in Ephesians 5 and verse 25, "Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her." And Paul told Titus that older women are to teach the younger women in Titus 2 and 4 to love their husbands. Many times the cause of divorce is a failure to love one another the way we're commanded to love. We need to work on the cause and avoid many ruined lives. Parents neglect children and parents become aged and the children neglect them. Where did they learn that? You taught it to them. You taught it to them. So the parents then become bitter and hateful and they cry out, "Why me? Why are my children neglected?" You reap what you sow. Simple as that. Parents give the proper attention to their children, they will learn to honor them, as the Bible says, honor your father and your mother, and requite them accordingly. But there are many today who suffer financially, and they say, "Oh, why me?" Well, I'm not going to take under consideration loss of jobs or scarcity of jobs. That's not the subject. What I want to talk about is reckless spending, plastic money. We need to learn to be wise stewards and not spend beyond our means. In fact, it would be nice if the government could learn to do this. But all of these things we bring upon ourselves and rightfully can only blame ourselves, sowing and reaping. But There are some things that happen that are accidental. Some are involved in traffic accidents and crippled for life. Now let me say this. If it is our fault, we have reaped what we have sown. But if not, and listen carefully, we are just a victim of something beyond our control. And that does happen. It does happen. Also, we need to recognize the fact that there are other wills at work besides the will of God. Where does suffering and death and murders and wars, where does it all come from? It doesn't come from God. James says in James 4, beginning of verse 1, where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members? You lust and do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. These things are the result of bitterness and hatred within men, or lust or covetousness. And these things do not come from God. There are other wills at work. And ultimately, we have to recognize that the devil is one responsible for such suffering. Peter says in 1 Peter 5 and verse 8 that the devil is like a roaring lion who walks about seeking whom he may devour. Well, that doesn't sound too good. I mean, what hope is there? Well, the fact of the matter is we can escape. James says in James 4, verses 7 and 8, therefore submit to God. Listen now. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Did you hear that? Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your heart, you double-minded. There can be no doubt that many innocent people suffer as a result of the devil's work. I mean, just think of the untold number of innocent women and children who are killed in wars. And the innocent adults and children that are the victims of AIDS and such like. Dear hearts, this is not the will of God. But you say, well, okay, so the devil's behind it. Why doesn't God just do away with the devil? I want to say something, and I don't want to be misunderstood. The fact is, he could. But he has chosen not to do so. It's much like the situation with the fiery serpents in Numbers 21, 4 through 9. You remember God caused fiery serpents to come among the people, and people who were bit died? Now, solution, God could have caused them to all just disappear. Or he could have caused them all to die. But he didn't choose to do that. He chose not to take them away, but to give them a cure. And it was up to them to take the cure or die. That kind of sounds like salvation. That sounds like salvation. Instead of taking away sin and the devil who's behind it, he gave us the cure and left it up to man to take it. Now, let me say this. This is why we refer to man as a free moral agent. If there was not the devil and the working of the devil, we wouldn't have free moral agency. But we have to choose consciously what to do, and we choose to do what the Father commands. As James 1, verse 12 says, blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he's been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. You know, whenever a young man entices a young woman to commit fornication, another will is at work. Another will. As it was in the case of Joseph and Potiphar's wife. You remember that? She was determined that she was going to pull him in and commit adultery with him. And he said, I'm not going to do it, because to do this is to sin against God. He wouldn't do it. Made her mad. Ended up having him in prison. That's right. We have got to understand that the same principle is true of other wills at work in trying to get young people to use drugs, to dance, to drink spirits, or whatever it is they drink these days. I don't know. They're drinking marijuana, some of them. But anyway. But that's what it is. It's other wills at work. It has nothing to do with God. And yet someone looks at all this and says, yeah, but why me? Why? Well, there are some things that just happen. Now, before you get the idea that this old preacher has just run out of mud and the only thing he can say is some things just happened, I want you to read with me from Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and verse 11. Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and verse 11. The wise man said, I returned and saw the sun, that the race, or saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, nor bread to the wise, nor riches to men of understanding, nor favor to men of skill. Listen, but time and chance happen to them all. It's just part of being alive. You know, fire has many good uses. Cooking a steak is one of my favorite ones. But purifying ore, shaping plastics, keeping you warm on a cold night. But once in a while, it gets out of control. And it damages or kills or destroys. But so also is it with water. So many good uses, but often there are floods like we've had here, which damage and kill. I remember, it's funny how things stick in your mind, right? And when I say this, oh no, this audience might, I'll have a higher percentage that'll know what I'm talking about than I will normally. But I was watching an episode of Barney Miller. Ah, recognition. And he was trying to comfort a policeman who was extremely upset because he had to kill a criminal. You know, good police people don't take lightly having to use their weapon to kill somebody. But Barney, he just asked him a question. He said, "Why do you think the biggest shark in the ocean has only a tiny throat?" And the guy, and he said, "Why? Why is it?" "That's just the way it is. That's just the way it is." And this is the only answer that we can give sometimes. In some cases, we know why certain people die. When natural laws are violated, people sometimes die. Like, for instance, I read about a window washer who was on a scaffold that was 39 stories tall, and he fell. Now, he wasn't dead until he hit the ground, but he knew it was coming. But who did he blame? Well, maybe somebody didn't tie his harness safely, or maybe he unhooked his harness in order to reach something and fell. But the fact is, the human body is not designed to take that kind of impact. And the fact is, he died. But there are some things that happen that there's just no other explanation for it. We don't know why. Finally, in answer to why me, we must observe that there are things which God does. Now, with Job, God permitted other wills to operate. What happened as a result? Job suffered. In 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12, "Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing has happened to you." What's Peter saying? He's saying God permits this to happen. But sometimes good things come out of bad. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning with verse 7, Paul says, "Lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord three times that it might depart from me. And he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasures in infirmities, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong.'" You know, many times the strongest ones are the ones who have been through the most trials. Whenever we experience suffering and find comfort in God, we are able to help others who are suffering. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, beginning of verse 3, Paul says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. Did you see that? We are comforted in our tribulation so that we'll be able to help others. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also abounds through Christ. Now, if we are afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effective for enduring the same suffering which we also suffer. For if we are comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. And our hope for you is steadfast, because we know that as you are partakers of the sufferings, so also you will partake of the consolation. You know, one of the benefits of suffering is they make us long for heaven. If we've had it easy and had it smooth here, and we wouldn't nearly long as much for heaven. But Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 that we are looking for a heavenly home. And we must realize that if we're going to live a godly life, what did Paul tell Timothy? We will suffer persecution. Period. That's it. But he helps us to deal with it. As we noted earlier in this lesson, we cannot be tempted beyond which we are able to bear. But with the temptation, we'll be given a way of escape. There's no excuse. Oh, someone says, I just can't deal with the death of a loved one. Or I can't deal with terminal illness. But the fact is, you can. God promised that you could. And with his help, you can. Now the positive side of why me. See, that's such a good frame. I had to use it every chance I get. Why me? Why would God send his precious son into this sinful world to die for me? Why? Well, that's a good question. Why should he extend the forgiveness of sins to me? Why should his grace be extended to me? Well, the answer is right here. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's God's will. And certainly, we can comply with God's will, and we can avail ourselves of this salvation that has been made possible through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. By giving ourselves an humble obedience to the gospel, which he commanded his apostles to go out into all the world and to preach every creature, we can have this salvation. I hope this lesson has been good for you, and I hope that it has been informative. I preached a lesson like this 10, 12 years ago. I wasn't satisfied with it. So what you got tonight was the revised version. It's got more points, different points. and I hope that they are salient points. It will help you to know what God's will is and to be in accordance with His will in everything that you say and do.